Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today, we're talking about lesser-known credit card benefits.
Yeah, man, we're going to be getting to that here in a second, but I wanted to ask you a question. How has the Grayscale phone action been going on since last week?
I feel like it's been solid. I had to turn it off every once in a while for like a video I want to watch or something like that. It just feels depressing to watch it in black and white. Like, but for the most part, man, it's been great. I enjoy it.
Do you feel like it's actually decreased the amount of time you're spending on the different apps and looking at your pretty pictures that you take with your phone?
Yeah, I think so. I think it makes Facebook and Instagram less interesting to me.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, they're in black and white, and so they're much less appealing. And so yeah. I do find myself using those apps.
Much fewer colors.
Yeah, which can be time sucks. I find myself using them more, and I don't know. I really like that. I really like using them less because that's kind of been a goal of mine anyway, right? I don't want to be on social media as much. And so the black and white makes them less appealing, and I just kind of put my phone down.
Nice, man. Yeah. If you listeners haven't heard, so last episode we talked about Joel switching his phone over to like grayscale mode, basically. It got rid of all the colors and was hoping that that would decrease the amount of time he spent on his phone. Because after that, man, this past week I was thinking through and I thought, I wonder how much time I'm actually spending on my phone. I'm not willing at this point to switch to black and white and take it old school, you know? But I had heard something about a way to figure this out. And if you have an iPhone specifically, there's different apps out there, but it's actually built into the settings of the phone as well. So I know on the iPhone, you can go into settings and specifically go to battery, and then there's a clock icon. And so the battery, it'll tell you the percentage of battery that your phone is spending on specific apps. But if you click the clock icon, it switches it, and it also tells you how much time you spent on specific apps in the past 24 hours and in the past week, like the past 7 days. And I will say I did it today because I was thinking about it earlier this week, but I kept forgetting to check.
Let me make a guess.
All right.
Number one app you used, Candy Crush.
Dude, I play zero games on my phone.
Me too. Me too.
I'm so proud to say.
I can't do games on my phone. Oh my, if I did that, it would be the slippery slope into like me being a completely worthless human being.
I think. Basically falling back into single life because yeah. I think my wife would divorce me.
I'd be like eating pizza and I put the box like on my stomach that's just like huge or something while I'm playing Candy Crush. That's what would happen to me.
But no, seriously. And so I checked it today and I was depressed to find out that I've spent about 75 minutes on social media in the past 24 hours.
Dang, dude.
Yeah. And that kind of a wake-up call, I think, for me.
That's probably not uncommon, though. I bet if I'd looked, I bet it would be somewhere close to that. I mean, which is just terrible to think about.
75 minutes, and I didn't look specifically at what it was for the past week. But, I mean, if you take that, though, and you average it out, that's about an hour a day. You're looking at almost a full workday, right? Like over 7 hours that you're spending. And granted, it doesn't tell you exactly what you spent doing those apps, right? And so a lot of times when I spend on Twitter, I'll click over to an article and I'll read an article. And I think that counts that as Twitter.
Sure.
Yeah, Twitter time or whatever. But still, it doesn't matter. Like that's just so much time. And I haven't talked to Kate about this, but I want to sort of set up some accountability, I think. And like at the end of every day, like show it to her, just be like, okay, it's like a confession.
Now
like,
berate me.
Exactly, yeah. Well, because that's so much time. And I complain that I don't have enough time during the day to do the different things I want to do that I know that are important that I need to spend doing. And if I pull that up and it's showing that I'm spending still over an hour every day, say on social media, well, I don't have any excuses, you know? Yeah. It's up to me.
I will say one thing that has made my social media experience better overall has been
getting an awesome profile pic.
Yeah. People are like, oh, you look so good.
How come your shirt's off?
Exactly right. Like Fabio style pic with my hair blowing in the wind. I think it's been joining groups. And now Facebook has largely prioritized groups. Like our group, the Poor Not Poor Facebook group, it's been really fun. Like I see more posts of people commenting on episodes or asking questions or, you know, the other, you know, groups that I'm interested in and I care about the content there.
Right.
It's more interacting with people with questions or comments as opposed to random
newsfeed crap. Yeah. Latest events and things like that.
But even still, yeah, Facebook is meant to keep you scrolling and it's hard to stop, right? It becomes addicting. And I would say Grayscale can help. For a lot of people out there, I would say consider it. Oh, and by the way, speaking of social media, randomly, I listened to an older podcast from...
Us?
No, no. I don't go back and listen to us that often.
It's like, that's kind of vain, dog. Like,
it's depressing.
Yeah.
no, there's this podcast called The Liturgists. It's an interesting podcast that blends like faith and rational thinking and just kind of an interesting group of minds getting together to discuss issues that kind of matter.
Interesting.
And they did an episode on social media last summer.
Oh, cool.
And I literally went back and listened to it this week, not knowing we were going to have this conversation. Nice. And it was fascinating. I mean, it was a gut wrencher. It was like sad and it was beautiful and it was thoughtful. And so I would tell anybody, I like that podcast and the people on it anyway.
Yeah.
Check that out. But particularly go back and listen to the episode they did on social media. It'll just give you some thoughts about, you know, why people use it, what good ways to use it are, and then just, I don't know, maybe kind of make you rethink about why you're on it in the first place.
Right. So. Definitely. When you said The Liturgist, I was like, okay, hipster band name or deep thinkers? You know, what's it going to be?
They might have a little hipster to them. I don't know. But they're super deep thinkers. Really, there's one guy on there named Science Mike, and I just like really dig the way
Science Mike.
He thinks about things. Cool. And so I would recommend anybody.
I like it.
Interested in kind of the thought behind the thought of why they use social media. Right. It's a good thing to delve into.
That's always good stuff to consider. And, you know, at the very least, if you don't have the time to maybe listen to another show, if you have an iPhone, check out those battery settings and hopefully it'll be a wake-up call at the very least for folks.
And I think for anybody who's listening to this podcast, they want to get their money game together, right? They want to kind of get their money stuff straight and they're interested in some of the stuff that we've been talking about, like, you know, figuring out their why behind money, the potential of pursuing financial independence and cutting their grocery bill. Like, right, they're into these kind of life hacks and the ways to change their lives in a positive way. Yeah. And money is like a huge part of that, right? Like, so getting your money game straight is going to help you in so many facets of life. And I think getting your social media usage straight and with, like you said, that's just, man, that's blatant. 7 hours a week, right? If we're doing it that much.
That's insane.
And if we're on top watching Netflix the same amount, right? That's, you know, 15 hours a week that we could be using differently, that we could be dedicating
to a part-time job.
Right. Learning a new craft or actually taking action on something that we've wanted to that we said we didn't have the time to do. And so at least thinking about it, posing these questions to yourself and deciding, hey, am I on my phone too much? And then kind of making a change. But the first step is a little bit of awareness, right? A little realization.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom. And you just had that and I had that. And so we're making a little bit of a change.
So our wives can expect to see some big changes in our lives and like, you've done the dishes and cleaned the house and taken the kids to school and done groceries.
That honey-do list. It's getting shorter actually now, right?
I'm just saying we don't have an excuse now. Yeah,
it's true.
Got to crush it.
All right, let's jump into the beer today, Matt. This is one you purchased recently when you went to the brewery and it's called Red Brick Thunder Thief and it's a double IPA.
Yeah, so it's Red Brick Brewing, which is an Atlanta brewery here. But as of recently, they are actually called Atlanta Brewing Company, which is their original name. And so they kind of bounce back and forth there. And I think they kind of are realizing that, oh, no, we need Atlanta in our name. You can't go wrong.
So let's tell people more about that name change as I pour this beer. I thought it was interesting, Matt, that it started off as Atlanta Brewing Company. They changed to Red Brick at one point. And then ultimately, after a bunch of different brewmasters and just kind of some troubles with quality, they finally got this amazing brewmaster. But they were still stuck with the name Red Brick. And I think people had just kind of come to associate Red Brick with something that meant...
like subpar beer, basically.
Yeah, it meant not high quality beers. Yeah. And so they said, well, how in the world are we gonna get out from under this? And I think it really just made a lot of sense to change back to their original name, Atlanta Brewing Company. And I think, you know, their quality has gone up. And for people like you and I, Matt, who are kind of hooked into the scene, you know, we know that Red Brick beers have been getting better because we've heard the new brewmaster. Like we've tasted some of the beers and they really are, they've gotten a lot better. And so it's really cool that, you know, I think you went in there like literally a day or two before they announced the name change. So this is probably one of the last cans that's going to say Red Brick on it. And they're all from now on, they've got these new cool designs. And actually this one is kind of that part of new design iteration. It's a cool can design. But from now on, Atlanta Brewing Company, they've got a cool space. Their beers have gotten a lot better. Yeah. And I just kind of love that their branding, this like kind of fresh pop that they're going to get by changing their name back, will hopefully reach some new consumers and let them know about kind of what they've been up to over there because their beer has gotten pretty tasty. Yeah. So Thunder Thief is a double IPA from the formerly known as Red Brick Brewing Company, now known as Atlanta Brewing Company. And when I popped the can, Matt, I felt like the hops really hit me in the nose.
Yeah, man, to me, this double IPA has sort of almost like melon flavors going on. It's got like this juicy, not overly sweet, but sort of this sort of melon kind of flavor profile going on. And yeah, it's good. It kind of reminds me of, as well as like a West Coast IPA. So it kind of has a slightly more bitter finish, which Kate loves very much. I like them too.
Yeah.
Just not as much as she does.
Yeah, I feel like it's got like melon and pine. I really kind of like the way they blend in this one. And it's just good to see Red Brick finally, like literally, I didn't drink anything Red Brick made for years until the last, you know, 4 or 5, 6 months they got a new brewmaster and they started churning out some really good beers. And so it's just good to have their beer and enjoy it again.
Yeah. I had never even been to their space up until last week. And so when Kate and I went there specifically because we had heard about things getting better. And one of the things I love too that's happening in the Georgia beer scene is the change that we're seeing in breweries and how they're becoming a space for community. Specifically, we were there and there was a running club that had run earlier, I guess. They just like ran around and they come back and drink beers. But what's awesome about that is people are just there hanging out. You know, it's sort of like that third space. And not even everyone is drinking. You know, that's what's cool about it versus, say, going to a bar. Like, you go to a bar, first of all, like, bar has like a connotation of like, I don't know, heavier drinking or something, in my mind at least. But a brewery, it's just a fun kind of space. And there's folks there that are hanging out that just like to run and they don't feel pressured necessarily to order. It's not like you're sitting down at a table, right?
Yeah.
At a bar and it's just like, all right, what do you want? It's like, well, I don't want anything. It's like, well, why are you here? You know, versus breweries that are becoming more involved in the community. Folks are hosting fundraisers at breweries as well. They're someplace that you can take your kids. And I love that. It's such a better model than what we had going on before. And I think it's great.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like a brewery now, there's, you know, places to picnic, bring your kids, bring your dog. But when you're talking about a bar, like, not usually, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, breweries do have like a lot of cool options for people. And I think it's really fun to go every once in a while, take my kids to a brewery and run around while daddy has a beer.
Exactly.
All right, Matt, let's tackle the subject at hand today, lesser known credit card benefits. And back in episode 14, we discussed using credit cards like a pro, and we kind of gave a general outline of kind of how people should use credit cards.
Right.
And we mentioned, right, that they are a double-edged sword. And so credit cards have a lot of benefits for people that use them wisely, and they can be a huge detriment. They can be a millstone around your neck if you use credit cards poorly. And so we want to make sure, again, disclaimer kind of right up front, if you don't pay off your credit card bills in full every month, this information, it's good to know for the future, right? For when you do pay your credit card bills in full every month. But right now, that needs to be your main focus. Having revolving credit card debt, you know, you pay a lot in interest every month to the credit card companies for that revolving credit card debt.
Yeah, man, there's essentially zero benefit that comes from having a credit card if you are paying interest. I mean, I would venture to say any interest at all. The benefits get outweighed at that point immediately.
Yeah.
But so
there's these lesser known credit card benefits because we talked about some of the major ones in that episode, you know, the cashback rewards and some of the major travel rewards that are offered. You know, the kind of things that you see, you know, touted on a commercial or an ad on the internet. But there are all these other smaller, lesser known rewards that people rarely talk about. And so you probably already know, you know, about the cashback or travel miles and that some offer big time sign up bonuses. Those are great. But there are all these lesser known credit card benefits that you really should be taking advantage of. And so we wanted to kind of run through some of those, some of the highlights, some of the better benefits that you might be missing out on, even though you're using that card already.
That's right, man. So the first one we're going to talk about is doubling the manufacturer's warranty. And this is one that almost all credit cards offer. Pretty much anything that you purchase that has like a user's manual probably has like a manufacturer's warranty, right? Something that is a bigger purchase, it's going to be something that the manufacturer is going to back. And it just depends on the product. But a lot of times with a lot of electronics, like I'm thinking of iPhones, we were just talking about that earlier, but you're looking at 1 year. And so if you are able to put that purchase on a credit card and pay it off, like we said, right away, that's something that you can have extended by a year. And there's some credit cards that'll even extend that by 2 years, which is a really sweet perk.
Yeah, so that is really cool because if you're at the electronics store and someone is trying to sell you an extended warranty on a product that you're buying, let's say you're buying a new camera and they say, you know what, you really should get this extended warranty. It's only $195 and you know what, you're gonna be glad. It's gonna save your bacon in case you drop this camera.
Save that bacon.
Save your own bacon, because you can purchase with that credit card that you have that offers this benefit, extending the warranty that the manufacturer offers, and your credit card is essentially covering you for free, and you're not paying extra, and you're avoiding those extra fees that an extended warranty costs.
Dude, do you know who's the really good at pressuring you to try to add that? Is Best Buy. Have you been in there recently and purchased any sort of electronics?
No, it's, man. I feel like I never go into stores to buy anything anymore.
Yeah, seriously. Well, it's been forever since I have been in there, but I swear every time I go in there, even if it's for like a cable or something, they're trying to like add on an additional warranty or service program or something like that. I'm just like, nah, man. This isn't going to break. It's just a cable. Like, well, it's a monster cable. Like, it's good to go.
If you look at the numbers, man, those big time electronic stores, their bread and butter, almost all of their actual revenue comes from warranties, because they can't make very much money. There's so much competition in that sphere, right? Between Amazon, Walmart, Best Buy, the price competition's really strong. So they make all their money by selling warranties. So yeah. you as a consumer need to know that. You need to be aware and be prepared to walk away. And it's much easier to walk away from that when you know you've got something in your back pocket, like one of these credit card rewards.
All right, man. And the next one we want to discuss is purchase protection. And so this is against things like damage to an item or theft and even the price going down, which is something, man, that I didn't even realize that credit card companies did. This isn't something that I've ever sort of exercised. It's not a benefit that I've taken advantage of. But man, how awesome is it that that's out there? Have you taken advantage of that?
You know, I've never taken advantage of that one in particular. I've taken advantage of a couple further down that we're going to get to. But but I love that that's there, right? I feel like I am really good at finding a good price on something. But it's really nice to know that if I did find it, most of these credit card companies say within the next 90 days at a lower price, then I can just contact them as opposed to having to go through the whole rigmarole with the company I purchased it from.
Right, yeah.
I go straight to my credit card company and they credit me the difference.
Yeah, or even sort of like around the holiday season, right? Like there's a lot of shopping that goes on and folks are cutting prices left and right. To know that, oh, am I getting the best deal? Should I wait for the next Cyber Monday? Is it going to go on sale then? I don't know. Well, you don't have to worry about it quite as much if you just are able to take advantage of this extra sort of perk. And I did see, though, that there are some limits and it depends on your credit card, as all these benefits do, and we'll kind of talk about this later on, but you know, there's ranges between $200 and $500 that the credit card company is willing to put towards that theft or the price drop. And like you said about 90 days, and that's what I saw as well. There's anywhere between 60 to 120 days that you need to sort of exercise that benefit in order to take advantage of that, that perk.
Yeah, they're not going to give you right money back. Let's say you bought a TV 10 years ago and it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk it? Today, they're not going to say, oh, that's cool. We'll credit you now. It needs to be kind of within that 60 to 120 day period, depending on the credit card that you use. And that's one other important thing that we really do need to call out, is that you need to look at your own credit card, look at the fine print, because that's where all these lesser known credit card benefits lie. They're in that kind of fine print, right? Or they're in that pamphlet that you get, and people don't usually look past page one, but they exist in there and you can read all about them. And it's actually, it benefits you to familiarize yourself with those lesser known benefits that you have offered to you via the different credit cards that you have in your wallet. But you're going to want to make sure that you know the fine print. You know whether it's 60 days or 120 days.
Right. Exactly.
You know that max benefit per year, and you know whether your credit card offers it or not.
Yeah. So for example, Citi is scaling back their program as far as the purchase protection. And then Chase, from what I understand and what I read, is eliminating it altogether, which kind of sucks. There are certain benefits that still exists, certainly, and we're going to continue to talk about those. Yeah, and so read the fine print, because this is something that's kind of constantly changing and we don't want you to count on something that's not necessarily there.
Yeah, so we're not going to mention necessarily specific cards for everything, although there are a couple that we are going to call out in a little bit. But Discover too, they just announced in 2018 that they're getting rid of a bunch of card member benefits. And the reason they cited was due to prolonged low usage. So people just don't take advantage of these. Although I'm pretty sure that's not exactly why they...
Yeah, exactly. If there's prolonged low usage, that means it's not costing them anything,
right?
Which means why not keep that around?
Right. Yeah. So
I'm sure that wasn't the case.
I'm sure that's not the case either, but it turns out they're eliminating a lot of these benefits. And so as some of these credit card issuers are taking away some of these lesser known credit card benefits from you, it's good to know kind of what's out there and shop your credit cards, not just for that 2% cash back rate, but shopping for a credit card based on those lesser known credit card benefits that are available to you from maybe one credit card issuer versus another who's decided to eliminate some of those programs altogether.
So if you're into traveling, we're going to talk about a lot of the different travel benefits next. But first, let's go to the break.
All right, Matt, we're back. And let's get into some of those travel benefits that we mentioned before the break. The first one, no foreign transaction fees. So I just had a friend who recently went overseas, used the wrong credit card, and ended up spending like $130 extra that he didn't need to because he essentially was using a primary card that had foreign currency transaction fees associated with it.
Yeah, I know this friend as well.
Should we mention him right now?
He's my friend as well. And granted, that's not a ton of money, right? You know, $130, whatever. But still, I mean, come on, like, why do that when that's something that you don't have to do, when it's something that you can avoid and avoid lining the pockets of the big banks?
So pretty much every Capital One card out there has 0% foreign currency transaction fees. So I always keep a Capital One card in my wallet.
It's your travel card, right?
And they say, what's in your wallet? Well, yeah, you got it. It's in there.
There's a good reason for it.
Exactly. And another card that I think people should know about that has no foreign currency transaction fees, and it's kind of become a trend. And by the way, if you don't know what foreign currency transaction fee is for the credit cards in your wallet, you can call your credit card company and they, by law, have to tell you what those fees are. So you can know pretty quickly. But also the Chase Sapphire cards are awesome. They offer some of the best travel benefits to people out there. And we'll kind of get into even more of those as we kind of go down through some of these specific benefits. But the Chase Sapphire cards offer also that amazing benefit of no foreign transaction fees. So just don't get caught overseas with a card with a couple of cards, and all of them charge between 1% and 3% on every transaction. You know, that could lead to a big bill that you rack up, equivalent to essentially an annual fee or more.
And Chase Sapphire also has a sweet sign-up bonus, man, which you know I'm all about, right?
You love the sign-up bonuses.
That's my jam right there.
I think you make up like random other names just to get the sign-up bonuses. You've got like 12 different cards.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal, Joel. The next travel benefit you can use your credit card for is that you can use it to have secondary and even primary rental car coverage. First, let's quickly kind of cover what that means. Is that so your insurance that you have, you know, if you own a vehicle in the States and you have to have car insurance, well, that's your primary. And then a lot of times the secondary insurance will kick in after you've sort of used and exhausted your primary insurance. And so it's sort of a backup. And most credit cards have some sort of secondary benefit. Fewer have primary, but that's a particularly sweet benefit.
Yeah. And so a lot of the ones that do offer secondary rental car coverage will become primary coverage if you're renting a car overseas. So you're going to want to make sure to look at the details, right? Like we said, in that pamphlet or on the website of that credit card, so that you know what your credit card company is offering you. But for instance, my Fidelity Rewards Visa offers secondary coverage. But if I'm renting a car overseas, let's say I'm in Europe, I get primary coverage. And so I don't have to involve my own insurance company if I get into an accident. And I mentioned that I have had to take advantage of some of these lesser known credit card benefits, Matt. And this is one that I did have to take advantage of years ago.
Yeah.
Driving a car in South Africa.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me about it.
So I did great across the whole country. And I literally, we drove from one end of the Cape to the other end of the Cape, from Port Elizabeth to Cape Town. And I was pulling into this like general store right in the middle of the country. And I did fine, man. I was driving my stick shift like a champ. And
sounds like you weren't doing fine, Joel.
No, I was doing incredible. I was magnificent. But then I pulled into a parking space. And there's something about being on the other side of the car, your depth perception when you're pulling into a parking space.
Like, oh, yeah.
You need to give it a little more space than you think you do. I wasn't used to that. And so I scraped the side of a car next to me, and the credit card worked like a champ, providing me that coverage.
That's awesome.
Of the rental car. So I was really thankful for that. I do want to mention that one of the only cards out there, that it's pretty rare to find primary coverage for a rental car, but there are a couple cards that do offer it, and the Chase Sapphire cards are the ones that do. And in particular, if you look at the Chase Sapphire Preferred, it only has a $95 annual fee, and the first year's annual fee is waived. Mm-hmm. So if you are looking for a card that's going to offer you primary coverage, even when you're renting a car within the United States, so that you don't have to involve your insurance company in case of an accident, the Chase Sapphire Preferred card is probably the one you want to look to, and we'll link to that in the show notes.
All right, man. The next benefit we want to talk about is trip cancellation insurance, and you know, as well as luggage insurance. And specifically, what comes to mind is when Kate and I's honeymoon got hit by a hurricane.
Wait, your honeymoon got hit by a hurricane?
Yeah. Well, Jamaica did. So we had planned to go to Jamaica, and this is back in the day, and we had used a travel agent that Kate's folks had recommended because they had used her before. And she had recommended that we do trip insurance. And I thought, you know what? That sounds like something we should do. And so we paid for it. It wasn't that much, but it still, it was an additional charge that we had to pay for. And it's a good thing we did, because a big old Category 5 hurricane hit Jamaica. The entire island shut down. And we were lucky enough to have gotten the trip insurance. And we got to reschedule that for a couple months later over Thanksgiving.
Yeah. A lot of people are just completely out of luck when something like that happens.
Yeah, exactly. And so we were stoked and thought that it was the best thing ever. However, it's amazing to know that we could have already have had that trip insurance had we put it on the right card.
For free.
For free.
Via credit card,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I have the Costco credit card, and the Costco credit card offers 3% cash back on everything you buy travel related. And then they also have this trip cancellation and interruption protection. And so if something happens, you can be reimbursed for these non-refundable trip expenses that you've incurred, which is really cool. And there are a lot of differences to the trip cancellation plans that different credit card companies offer. So again, make sure you read the fine print of the one that you're using, and some are better than others. But I would say that it's just really nice to know that if something happens, right, some sort of unforeseen event, to have that sort of cancellation insurance is really awesome. There's also luggage insurance, which, you know, if your luggage gets lost in transit, fault of the airline, that never happens, right? But if it were to happen, there's coverage for you. And it's cool to know that your credit card offers you that benefit too.
Speaking of lost luggage, have you ever been to the lost luggage warehouse store in Alabama?
No, but I've heard
about
it.
You know what I'm talking
about? I totally want to take an excursion there.
Dude, we've got to go. We got to take let's take a poor not poor road trip and look through other people's lost luggage and see what we can find.
It sounds amazing.
I heard you can get some amazing deals on stuff, and I don't know exactly how it works other than, like, the stuff just gets donated by the airlines, or do they sell it, or what?
I don't know. That's a good question. But like after a certain period of time, I guess no one's coming back for that luggage.
Yeah.
They got to send it to this big warehouse in Alabama. All right, Matt. So let's run through just a few other travel benefits really quickly. There are, with different credit cards, you know, free checked bags. Let's say you're big into checking bags, but you hate paying the fees. You know, I prefer to carry on unless I'm checking beer, and which I said, fly Southwest, right?
That's the way to do it.
But there's also priority boarding. There's access to airport lounges. There's the potential to get free global entry and TSA pre-check. So all these different credit cards offer different travel benefits. Make sure you know which ones your credit card company offers. But it's just, again, cool to know that there are these free perks out there for you.
Yeah, exactly, perks.
Probably sitting on a credit card that's in your wallet that you already have. So just rifle through your wallet one night and, you know, look on those credit card websites, and you'll find out the benefits that you have open to you, and you're probably just not taking advantage of some of these free benefits that you have access to right now.
Yeah, man, we've mentioned it several times too, to go ahead, like, read the fine print, you know, because it all kind of comes down to the specific card details. Stick around, because at the end of the episode here, we're going to talk about an app that sort of gets all that information together for you. And we found that it's much easier. And so, yeah, stay tuned for that.
But before we get to that, we're going to take a quick break. Now that we're back from the break, let's go ahead and cover a few more benefits that we have to make sure you know about. Yeah, so another free potential benefit is free roadside assistance. So instead of paying an annual fee to AAA every year, or using the service from your insurance provider, which could end up costing you a lot more in the end.
Well, yeah, if you end up using your insurance and then they
consider it a claim.
Exactly. Oftentimes. They start renegotiating your rates, and then you get a notification saying that you're premium has gone up.
Right. So using that
sucks.
Free roadside assistance from your credit card might work out way better in the end. Lots of times there are caps or mileage limits, but you're going to want to be aware of those.
Dude, that's actually one that I should have taken advantage of. I'm thinking back to last year. I think about this time last year when I locked the keys in our car and ended up calling up a locksmith to come and, you know, pop the door open.
Yeah.
Freaking cost us $115.
Dude, locksmiths are crazy expensive.
Yeah, I mean,
and there's a lot of scammers in the locksmith
industry.
Yes,
well, that's why I was so pissed, was because I called them up and they say, yeah, it'll be, you know, $40 or something like that, is what they said on the phone. And the dude shows up and he said $160, and I was furious, man, because it was a total bait and switch. To know that if I would have freaking thought of my credit card and been able to kind of claim that against them and have them either reduce that by $50 that they would have been willing to spend, or we would have just been able to pay $50 flat and had a roadside assistance come out. That's definitely something I didn't take advantage of last year, and ain't gonna lie, kind of feel like a sucker.
Yeah, it's good to be aware about for the future. And that's kind of part of what this episode's about, I think, is kind of letting people know, right? Hey, here's a list of a bunch of different benefits that you either have access to right now, or you can get a credit card that will give you access to some of these benefits. Let's say you're an international traveler. You do it twice a year, but you didn't know that there are credit cards that offer some of these benefits, boom, now's the time. Go sign up for a new one. Go sign up for a card that actually offers you no foreign transaction fees, primary rental car coverage, trip cancellation insurance, right? All these things that, you know what? You might not necessarily need to use any of these benefits, but it's just really nice to know that they're there, and you want to make sure you're using the right credit card when you actually end up, you know, booking that service. And particularly with travel, that's where you can end up saving the most. And so you want to make sure you're using the right credit card and that you know the benefits that are available to you.
Another quick benefit is that credit card companies are letting you see what your credit score is, which is awesome. And this isn't, it used to be something that I think Discover Card was only sort of doing, but we're starting to see a lot of the different credit card companies offering that, where when you go online, you're getting ready to look at your statement, you can kind of click over on the side and take a quick look at your credit score.
Yeah, and I distinctly remember, Matt, when I banked with Washington Mutual, which
WAMU,
no longer around, but that, man, that was their calling card, was like, hey, you can know your credit score if you bank with us.
Right.
And so I, you know, got a WAMU card, and it was awesome, man. I was like one of the only people that knew their credit score, because there just weren't many banks or credit card companies making this benefit available.
Right.
And then, you know, Discover Card did it. And that's my favorite one to use, even though I don't have a Discover Card. You don't have to be a Discover customer to use theirs.
Sort of like, well, you mentioned Costco earlier. It made me think of the liquor store. I didn't realize that you didn't have to be a member to go and buy beer or wine or liquor from Costco.
Or prescriptions.
Yeah. How did I not know that?
You didn't ask me.
It's the same thing. Yeah, you don't have to be a Discover Card cardholder in order to take advantage of that benefit.
Yep. And so almost every credit card company offers this now. It seems like it's pretty ubiquitous, but that's a good way to kind of keep in touch with your credit score. If you're not going to use a service like Credit Karma, which we really like, just knowing your credit score and having that available to you and just kind of keeping tabs on it to know what's going on, well, it's free. And it's one of those lesser known credit card benefits that you have available to you. Yet another thing, free museum visits. There are different credit cards that offer little perks like free museum visits. And I don't have this credit card, but there's a Bank of America credit card that offers, you know, free entrance into the High Museum where we are in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Every month, I think.
Yeah, it's like the first weekend of every month.
Which is super cool.
Yeah, it's a sweet perk, although you are then stuck with banking with Bank of America.
Which is why I'd rather purchase the ticket.
Exactly. Is it worth it? It's like, oh, deep down, probably not.
Right. But it's just cool to know, right? There are all sorts of weird little perks like that. And another thing, Matt, that I saw, that Sonoma County has their own Visa signature card, and you can get wine discounts and discounts on like wine tours and stuff like that when you're in Sonoma County. So if you're like a big wine head, wine geek, you know, you can get this credit card.
Is that what they call it? Wine heads?
I don't know. I have no idea, because, you know, we like beer here. But
what if there's a credit card that you could get like a beer discount on? We would be making bank.
Oh, what if there's like a Sierra Nevada New Belgium? I don't know. Something like that.
Or just some sort of card that did a partnership that's like, anytime you spend money on beer, craft beer, it's going to pay.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
It's going to pay off.
That'd be so great.
I'd love that. Yeah. So yeah, like Joel said, there's just lots of small little perks, and just look around. The biggest thing is just knowing that these benefits exist. There's a lot of things out there. And like you said, they're not things that they really advertise all that often. They're benefits that go unnoticed until you kind of start digging into the fine print.
Yeah. So the last benefit I wanted to specifically call out, Matt, and this is huge for so many people, cell phone insurance. You know, cell phone insurance, most people buy it through their cell phone provider, through Sprint, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, whatever. And they're paying $10, $12 a month. Not to mention there's a deductible if they end up breaking their phone.
Right.
Or they go through a secondary provider, which is maybe a little bit cheaper and maybe a little bit smaller of a deductible. But your credit card offers, in all likelihood, or a lot of credit cards do, cell phone insurance. And so there's up to $600 worth of coverage with a small $25 deductible in the case of breaking or shattering your cell phone. It's just nice to know that that insurance is available through a cell phone, and you're not paying a monthly fee in order to have that insurance.
Right. Yeah, as long as your monthly bill is being paid by that credit card, which in my case, it isn't, because I don't think we've ever talked about this, but we're on a huge family plan, like friends and family, where we've got 10 of our friends all together.
And some people I've never met.
Yeah.
And some, let's be honest,
that you've never met. I know them.
Like, you got them on.
I don't even know how we got them on. It's just like, hey, you want to like join us on this pyramid scheme cell phone plan? But the benefit there is that you know what's up. And so the credit card that you have us paying the, you know, our monthly bill on has that benefit, which is awesome.
Yep. All right, Matt, let's talk about that app then that you found that really is going to help people out. trying to make sense of all these benefits, right? We listed a bunch, but how do they figure out whether their credit card offers these benefits? Or maybe they found out about a particular benefit that we just discussed that they didn't know existed, and our listeners, you know, want to find a card that offers that.
Yeah, the reason this is so important, man, is like there's just so much headspace that we have, right? Like I can't keep up with what credit cards are offering, what benefit. And so, yeah, having something that you can go to easily is pretty key, because I don't have a ton of time to kind of dig through all the different literature that the credit card company is going to be sending out. But the app is called Sift, S-I-F-T. And it is an awesome app. I've only been playing with it for a little bit. But what it does, it allows you to create an account and you can enter your credit card information. And if you have privacy concerns, you can put what type of credit card you have in there. And they list out all the different benefits that you have. And not only that, man, but they detail how to actually file a claim. So specifically, like with purchase protection, they tell you how to file the claim. They tell you what number to call, what information you need to have out, and it lists out all the details.
Yeah, so it's really cool, Matt. Like, you can see the exact benefits that you're eligible for.
Yeah, it like lists them out under the credit card, and you can enter multiple credit cards, and essentially it quickly allows you to pull it up. And I presume that the, you know, it's going to be updated. So if, like we were saying earlier, were there to be a credit card carrier that changes what they offer or drops something altogether, that's going to be reflected. And so to be able to have that up-to-date knowledge, you know, at your fingertips is huge.
Yeah, and they also say that they streamline the claim process to make it as simple as possible to get your money back, which is really cool that you don't necessarily...
That's great, right?
Yeah, that you can... It's just really cool to see that you can click a button on the app as opposed to having to call the 1-800 credit card number and hope that the person who answers knows what they're talking about. And so going through this Sift app, it looks really cool. It looks like it can kind of help organize and put all these things together
exactly.
For you so that you don't have 52 credit card benefits bouncing around in the back of your mind that you have to keep track of. This app's going to kind of keep it all in one place. And so if you want to find out more, check out the website siftwallet.com. Yeah, and if you're looking for a slightly more lo-fi way of kind of keeping track of some of these benefits, I would suggest writing maybe with a Sharpie specifically on your credit card travel, right? Like, hey, this is the credit card I use when I book anything travel related so I don't miss out on these benefits. Or electronics. Anytime I purchase something that is an electronic item, I use this credit card. That can at least make it easier for you when you're reaching in your wallet to pull out a piece of plastic to make a purchase that you know that you're using the right piece of plastic with the right credit card benefits to make that exact purchase. All right, Matt, back to the beer.
Yeah, man, we've had a lot of stouts on recently on the show. So it's nice to have an IPA, a double IPA. This one is really delicious.
Yeah, Matt, it's just fun to drink something by a local brewery that we don't have much, and a brewery that's undergoing like a renaissance of sorts right now. And the Thunder Thief IPA was super strong and just kind of refreshing, really. I think it kind of had this refreshing melon pininess. I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace, especially for a double IPA. I was just looking at the can too, and it says this was a U.S. Open Championship silver medal. That's fancy. Congrats, guys. But for real, we really enjoyed this beer, and if you haven't checked out Atlanta Brewing Company's sort of new look, check them out.
Yeah, and we'll link to an article from a website that we like called Good Beer Hunting. Our friend Austin wrote an article kind of about that change from Red Brick to Atlanta Brewing Company, and it was really insightful. And so, yeah, we'll post a link in our show notes.
All right, Joel, now for our final thoughts. And first of all, before we get to the benefits that we think are the best, this is only for folks that are paying off their credit card in full every month. I think a lot of folks would argue that there are zero benefits to having a credit card, right? Like that's the big Dave Ramsey thing. And that's one of the biggest ways we differ from him, is that there's lots of benefits that you can get from having a credit card. But those benefits kind of become null and void if you're not paying your credit card off in full every month.
Got to be disciplined.
That's right, man.
Or these benefits don't matter. Let's just roll through a couple of the big ones that we want to make sure you're well aware of. And one is the extending of the manufacturer's warranty and also purchase protection. So when you're buying an electronic item, you're going to want to make sure you're using a credit card that offers those specific benefits in order to make sure that you're taking advantage of it.
That's right, man. And the next big group are the different travel benefits that you can receive with credit cards. No foreign transaction fees, taking advantage of the primary and secondary rental car coverage, and even trip cancellation insurance. There are just lots of other different benefits that you can take advantage of if you're using the right card to book those travels.
Yep, and we did quickly mention, but the Chase Sapphire Preferred Card is one of the absolute best cards out there for people that do like to travel a lot. On top of that, though, read the fine print inside of your credit card contract. Or you can also look at the actual credit card website and read through all the fine print there. Make sure you're using the proper card for the purchase you're making in order to take advantage of those benefits, and make sure that you're meeting all of the requirements listed inside of that fine print.
Or an even easier way, be sure to check out that app we mentioned, Sift. They've got all the information there from all the different credit card companies, and it's just a great way to keep that information organized and right at your fingertips.
Yeah, so we'll have a link to that as well as some of the other things we mentioned up on our show notes at howtomoney.com.
Yeah, and hopefully you found this episode helpful. If you found it randomly, be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe and you can get all the new episodes as they are released.
Until next time, buddy. Best friends out.
Best friends out.